When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the podcast, Chloe. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Good. Really good, thank you. I think given the circumstances, trying to see every day is a lovely opportunity to try something new and also stay calm.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely it's an exercise in staying calm. It doesn't necessarily come naturally every day. It's something I'm definitely working on.
But it's something that you have devoted your career to, Karma You. The reason you and I met originally was because of your first brilliant book, The Anxiety Solution. So I wonder, has this time, did you feel when you realised, oh, everything's got a bit real now, did you feel quite well equipped to navigate this period?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have asked me, because I've spoken a lot about my own experiences with anxiety, have I become really anxious lately? And I have to say, I think for some people who have a history of anxiety or experience anxiety, I think when there is a real crisis, sometimes those people are actually best kind of prepared and actually okay. And it's the littler things in life that will trigger them. And I've actually, yeah, luckily been pretty okay throughout this period. And yes, I feel very lucky for that, but definitely heard from a lot of other people that it's the most anxious time that they've ever kind of lived through. So I think we're all experiencing it in different ways, I think.
I think the most important thing I've been saying to people who've been reaching out saying that they are feeling anxious for the first time or are feeling more anxious than they've ever felt before is, well, that's a perfectly normal reaction to a pandemic.
Yes. Yeah. I think however you're experiencing it is okay. Let's not make ourselves wrong or beat ourselves up, because that just adds a new layer of rubbish.
Exactly. Yeah. But it made me think of you for Feel Good Habits, because the idea of the show was to really share with listeners those tips and tricks that people use to fend off a bad mood, whether you can feel that dark, gloomy cloud gathering overhead, or, you know, just those mornings when you don't want to get out of bed, or also those, you know, those times when you feel like you're working so hard and it feels as though the world is just working against you. And it's so hard to sort of keep a smile on your face and go, yes, I'm still here and I'm chipper. And you just seem like a perfect person to speak to, because you are very good at these kind of strategies.
Good to know. Hopefully I am.
Okay, so how are we kicking off? What's your first feel-good habit?
Yeah, so I think I want to just start off by saying that sort of staying calm and staying positive is definitely something I have to work on. I think people sometimes think, because I'm all about, yeah, helping people to stay calm, that I'm always calm, and that's not the case. And actually I learned recently when I'd stopped a few habits, thinking, getting kind of cocky, thinking, I don't need to do this, I'm fine, like I'm just flying. And then actually life started to catch up on me and I realized I actually do need things in place. And I think potentially we all need things in place, because modern life is not what we have evolved to deal with. So we need to have these things in place. But I'll share the first habit, and I hope this is considered a habit, but it's definitely something that I've been doing a lot recently, and that's leading and participating in sharing circles. And I had never heard of this or done anything like this up until last year, when I was in I think you call it a mastermind, where it's like a group of people in a similar job, so different coaches and things, and they were all from America. And I think Americans are kind of, I don't know if they're further ahead in this sort of woo-woo stuff. But basically every single week we had a sharing circle together in this mastermind, and it was about all of us on Zoom connecting, taking a few minutes to share things that we were struggling with, things that we were celebrating, which can sometimes be the hardest thing to even think about that, or think about it almost, I think, especially English people have this sense of it's not good to celebrate yourself. It's not good to be cocky or too full of yourself. Actually, it's okay to celebrate yourself, I've learned. And actually, it's a good thing, and it's nice for other people, and it's good for us. So that's something that I've been incorporating into my life over the last few months in particular. So whether that's when I'm doing a kind of a group program, I have sharing circles as part of that, but I've kind of brought different friends together from different kind of friendship groups, and we've kind of formed this sharing circle, and we're getting together tomorrow actually to sit around and just ask ourselves a few simple questions. One of them is, how am I really? And just knowing that it's okay to answer in whatever way is true for you. And then the question, what is important to you right now? And then what are you celebrating? So this is, I hope this is considered a habit, but it's something that's made a massive difference to me. And it really is helpful for that sense of connection, I think, when we can't see each other so much in real life, particularly now.
That's such a nice idea as well, because I definitely, like, my WhatsApp groups have become very active, but it's more just having sort of random conversations. But actually, that's a really nice idea to kind of get together, whether it's a WhatsApp group or a Zoom call or whatever it might be, and actually with a little bit of purpose, have something of a structure.
Yeah, I think I find quite often with friends, our conversations can be really amazing, but sometimes we don't actually get down to how we are really. Sometimes we'll be just chatting about what's been happening in life and kind of the events of life, and not really talking about how we are. And so having that space to actually talk about how you are really, rather than a surface, how are you, I think is really valuable.
Those are great questions as well. Did you come up with those questions?
Yeah. So the how are you really question comes from a book called The Millionth Circle by Shinoda Bolen, I think her name is. And yeah, so those questions as well were from my mentor, Nisha Moodley, that I was working with last year. So can't take credit for those questions, but they're quite often used in sharing circles, I understand. Yeah.
Oh, I started following Nisha Moodley last year. How funny.
She's amazing. She's amazing. Yeah. She's amazing.
Did you say she's a mentor?
Yeah. So she runs a lot of retreats, and she does the masterminds where people get together, a lot of coaches. But actually in our group, it was all sorts of different women from different, work types and getting together. And Nisha is just amazing at facilitating and showing an amazing example of what leadership is, actually. So I think that's what I took away from it.
Oh, that's interesting. I must admit, I do like the idea of mentorships, but I've never really fully explored any in my own life. So it's really interesting. Do you feel like you get a real benefit from having that kind of relationship?
Yeah, I think it's about having someone that's ahead of the curve or ahead of you in your career and knows things that you don't know, that you can just ask questions. I think that's invaluable. It's been amazing. And having a group of people in the mastermind to kind of bounce ideas off each other and ask each other questions, I think it was amazing. Yeah.
Sounds really lovely. Okay. So does that lead us neatly into habit number two?
Yes. I hope it's neatly into it. So this is something that I've only recently gotten into, and I'm actually doing a course on it at the moment on Zoom. It's an American teacher. It's something called the Sedona Method. And I don't know if you've heard of that.
I have. You're going to have to remind me.
Yeah. So it's obviously I can't kind of teach it to people, but I can explain the premise of it. And it's about, I suppose the simplest explanation is it's about welcoming your feelings. And this idea that much of the time, myself included, we have this tendency just to push down our feelings, particularly unpleasant feelings like anxiety or discomfort or anger, sadness, all these feelings that we tend to push down by staying busy, by distracting ourselves, by making ourselves wrong for feeling what we're feeling. And actually in the Sedona method, the practice is just to say to yourself, could I welcome this feeling? And have this sense of kind of opening to what it is that you're feeling, almost diving into the feeling. So diving into the anxiety, diving into the discomfort. And something really interesting happens when we do that. And in that, the feeling starts to disappear. The feeling starts to get processed, as I understand it. And there's a lot of other steps in this kind of process to do with letting it go. But there is something so powerful, I think, about just welcoming the feeling. So I've been doing a lot of that myself. I've noticed things coming up in terms of having just been cooped up with my partner for the last 13 or 14 weeks or wherever we're up to now. And just the kind of like the irritation that I would normally just try and suppress, but just giving myself a moment to feel it, to welcome it. And knowing that by doing that, I'm actually processing it rather than, you know, just trying to shove it down. And actually it's probably going to come up later on in snapping at him or being irritable if I don't allow myself to feel it.
It's interesting. It's making me think about, I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, I wish people just would stop X, or I feel triggered, don't mention that to me again. And I feel like you just can't close, you can't close yourself off to those things. You have to face them. Mm. Otherwise there's always potential to come up against a block or a barrier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think we're so scared of feeling our feelings. We're so terrified of allowing ourselves to feel anxious, as though if we let it in, it's going to be there forever and never leave. But actually the opposite is true. By suppressing it, it never leaves. By feeling it, welcoming it, then it can start to subside, or we just can change our relationship to it. We can realize, actually, I can handle this feeling. Another thing that they do in the Sedona method is to welcome wanting to let it go. So can I just welcome this feeling of wanting to not feel anxious, for example? And sometimes that can just be enough to stop that internal battle that can go on inside of us, I think.
Sounds really gentle, but like you'd get a lot of benefit from it.
Yeah. It's very simple, very, very simple, but definitely encourage people to try it. That's what I've been working on a lot recently.
The Sedona method, I'll definitely have to look that up. I like, these are great habits, Chloe. These are fantastic. I'm digging these. Okay, what is habit number three?
Okay. So I've got
like a game show host. Behind door number three.
I've clearly got a lot of time on my hands. Maybe like some people who don't have children, I've got more time on my hands than before. So my third habit is Qigong, which for people that don't know is a practice that comes from China. It's thought to be around 3,000 years old. And it's what Tai Chi, everyone probably knows what Tai Chi is. It's what Tai Chi is based on. So Qigong is the more ancient form of Tai Chi. And I'm not an expert by any means. I have done, you know, a few weekends course and that's it. But basically with Qigong, you can either do it physically or you can.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You can actually do it in your mind. And a way of doing it in your mind is to imagine your mind expanding out. I don't know if you can imagine that, if you think about that. If your mind expanding out, almost as if you can kind of imagine your mind going off into the horizon. I don't know if that makes sense. And then you bring your mind back. You sort of bring your attention back into your body. And what they're doing in Qigong is Qi is like energy. Just think of Qi as energy. And there's this idea that if we are expanding our mind out, we're expanding our mind out. And when we bring our mind back, we're bringing chi back into the body. So we're bringing good energy back into the body. And I was really skeptical about this. I kind of was slightly dragged along on a course to study it, and thought it would be a waste of time, and thought it was, you know, it couldn't be real. But I'm pretty convinced that it has helped in certain ways. Like, I feel like I haven't had a cough or a cold, for example, in the last 2 years since doing it. And that could be coincidence, but I've got a feeling that is linked to doing this kind of practice. So I just do a bit of Qigong every day as well.
Lovely. I like the idea of that. And I like the idea that you can either do it physically or you can practice it. It sounds a little bit like meditation.
Yeah. I think it's often people do it physically. I don't know if people do it in parks, but they're kind of reaching their arms out and gathering their arms back in. It's kind of a bit like Tai Chi in that way.
I can't remember whether Patrick Swayze was doing Qigong or Tai Chi in Roadhouse, but definitely one of the two. So I do know what it looks like.
But you can do it in your mind as well. You can do it in your mind. Yeah, so it's a type of meditation, I suppose, in that way. But it's interesting to me, I think, as a hypnotherapist, you kind of learn as a hypnotherapist that the mind is so powerful, and that actually we can change things just by what we focus on and where we put our attention and what we visualize. And I think Qigong's another example of that. By, you know, we can use our minds potentially to help us with our health or our immune system. It's just kind of solidified that belief for me. Yeah,
I know it's removed from that slightly, but I remember, I mean, last time I saw you, I was really struggling with anxiety. And I remember you keep reading things, or I would keep reading things that would say, you know, it's a choice. You get to have a choice when you wake up in the morning about whether you'll have a good day or a bad day. And it can be a really difficult process to shift that thinking. But once you do get to a point where you go, no, do you know what? Actually, today I'm not going to feel like that, and I'm determined to feel really good. And you live a bit more in the moment, and you enjoy making the coffee. You do understand the power of the mind, that if you leave it unchecked, and it does have a tendency to veer like a broken supermarket trolley to the left into negativity, you can actually, you can pull it back with just a few different steps. Not that I'm necessarily saying that good mental health is a choice, but what you're saying about how you view the world and the practice of the Qigong and the mind and everything, I think it really hammered home to me when I've been working on my own mental health, that you do have a lot more power sometimes than you think you do.
Definitely. And I think, I mean, if we can believe that we have a choice, that's an important belief that we can try and cultivate. Because if you believe that you don't have any choice, then you don't. That's going to be true for you. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not true that we always have a choice. There are so many different factors that can come into our mental health. But believing that we're not victims of our childhoods or our, you know, life circumstances, I think, is quite an empowering idea. If we can kind of tap into that, we can focus on things that can make us feel better in the moment. Yeah.
I love it. Right. Okay. I really am enjoying these habits. So I kind of don't want them to end, but we are going to have to move on to number four.
So I...
I'm already excited.
So I had three main ones, and then I just had one kind of extra one, which is... I think I'm getting into the habit of watching like online courses. I become kind of, yeah, having too much time on my hands, clearly, more and more interested in trying to, use this time to learn something. And so I've been doing different online courses. And I think I'd definitely enrolled in online courses in the past, but not necessarily had time to do them or not committed to them fully. But now, because I'm not commuting anywhere, I feel like I have more time. So I've been learning a few things. Like, I did a writing course recently. And so the habit might be to, while I'm having my, you know, tea and breakfast in the morning, to kind of watch a video that I feel's somehow enriching my life. I think it's important to me to have this sense of always learning things. That's one of my values. So I'm trying to use the time in the morning to learn something. So online courses, I guess, is my new habit as well.
Is there anything in particular that you, for someone listening to this who's thinking, gosh, I've watched a lot of TV during lockdown, or I've done 7 series of such and such in lockdown. Have you got any advice for getting into it? Because I, for example, have been fiddling around with Skillshare, which is very much that kind of online courses and for lots of different things. And I really enjoy it. And sometimes I'll look at a course that's to do with entrepreneurship. Sometimes I'll look at one that's to do with tech, because I, as we were talking about before we started recording, like had to learn how to become a sound engineer and an online tech expert in lockdown. And then other times it's just like how to cultivate an indoor garden. Is there any, if someone's thinking, actually, I really like this idea, is there a way to ease your way in so you don't bamboozle yourself before you get too far?
That's such a good point. And also want to say that I've also watched a lot of TV in lockdown. I'm not like constantly bettering myself. A lot of Netflix has been watched.
No judgment.
I think if you can team up with someone else and do it together, I think that's more motivating. I've been doing things with a friend. We've both been doing a course together, and then we might chat about it on WhatsApp later or just check in with each other about how we're doing. Some courses will have a live aspect to it. So if there are kind of live things for you to get involved in, sometimes that's a bit more motivating because you put it in the diary and it's more likely to happen, for example. But I think with these sorts of things as well, it's really important to not beat yourself up about if you fall behind, if you don't, do as much as you wanted. Just be really gentle with yourself, because, you're going to be doing the best that you can, and you're really defeating the object of doing something positive for yourself if you then turn it into something to beat yourself up about. So yeah, people shouldn't beat themselves up if they try and don't manage to finish them or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to necessarily do it on the first try as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's often these are things you can come back to and yeah, do it a year later or something. That's definitely what I've done.
Exactly. And also, I can't let you go without talking about, and I was saying to you before we started recording, you and I recorded, and I'll put the link to the episode, about, we recorded a show together about your book, The Anxiety Solution. And I really wanted to speak to you because at the time I was really, I had a full panic attack in your office, because I had the journey to get to you that day had been such a I'm terribly embarrassed even just thinking about it now. But you have this brilliant book, and I have given it away so many times that I think I've bought 4 or 5 copies, and I no longer have one in my home because I have lent it to people and it just never comes back to you. And so if someone's listening to this and they maybe have experienced anxiety, are experiencing anxiety, or they know somebody who is, I just wondered if you could just give a little bit of a top line about that book, because I can tell everyone I love it till I'm blue in the face, but I'd really just love to hear from you because obviously you created it.
Yeah, thank you. So I wrote the book with younger women in mind. It addresses a lot of the things that we struggle with, from comparison to putting pressure on ourselves to needing to be perfect, not feeling good enough. All these kind of themes that I found were very often at the root of anxiety for myself and for the people that I was working with. And it just includes lots of different tools and lots of different things to help you to shift your mindset. It's really simple things in there that you can incorporate into your life day to day, and ways just to think about things differently so that you can feel calmer and feel better about yourself. So it's very practical and I hope relatable as well to people. And I've had my own issues with anxiety and panic attacks and that sort of thing. So it's coming from that place as well.
Yeah. You can really, really tell as well, because it's almost like, I don't want you to have to feel it as badly as I did. That really comes through. It's like, so you're okay. You sort of, it's lovely. So I will obviously put the link to that book. And you have Brave New Girl as well, which is all about confidence.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought once we've kind of got a handle on our anxiety, then we can start to move out into the world and get better at saying no and stop being such people pleasers, again, all coming from personal experience. So it's kind of about taking it to the next step and being more confident.
Well, maybe we should create another show around that at some point in the near future.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that.
But those were great, great habits. Thank you so much for sharing them. Listeners, obviously the links to Chloe, Chloe's brilliant podcast, Chloe's books will be in the show notes, and all of the links to any courses or anything else that we think you might like to follow on from this. But Chloe, thank you so much for making a return to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.